Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sunrise Project, our weekly call. And it's always filled with love and gratitude and our mutual desire to heal, starting with ourselves first, and of course, our families. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That means a lot today. And I'm grateful as always for having the opportunity to be together with all of you this morning. I am super excited to have Lauren Williams with us this morning. Lauren is an incredible human. Let me tell you about her before we get started. She has extensive background in the performing arts, education, and healthcare. She obtained a professional dance, or let me start over. During her early years, she obtained professional dance training via private dance studios, the Baltimore School for the Arts, and she attended the Baltimore School for the Arts High School. As a high school student, Williams was awarded a full dance scholarship to the University of Maryland at College Park and obtained the NAACP EXO Gold Medal in the category of dance. That's amazing, amazing, amazing. She has performed at the Meyerhoff Symphony Hall Civil Rights Forum in the presence of more than 20 civil rights leaders, such as Dr. Maya Angelou, Coretta Scott King, and so many more. She obtained her BA from the University of Maryland at College Park and her MS in counseling from McDaniel College. Approximately 10 years ago, she was at a crossroads in terms of her life's purpose and identity. And I'm not going to tell you a lot more about that because I want her to speak in her own words about that crossroads in a few minutes. She works so tirelessly with many organizations. She was a 4-year tenure as chair and co-chair of the Physical and Mental Health Committee of North Arundel County Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, my sorority as well. And she has participated in many, many, many outreach programs. She's a proud mother of two beautiful children. And as I mentioned, has much work that she does with the sorority and in the community, and still travels, does yoga, dance, and graciously agreed to be here with us this morning. So thank you, Lauren, for being here. So excited and honored to have you today.
Thank you, Kelly. It's an honor.
We're happy here. Happy you're here. And I want to start. You heard me allude to the fact that you are an incredible dancer, and your background in the arts and dance. How did you pivot from that world of dance and the arts and being a creative to this space of mental health advocacy?
Thank you for asking. The pivot occurred during a very difficult time in my life, and I didn't really know what was the next chapter. Was I supposed to continue to dance, or was I supposed to utilize some additional gifts that were within me? So, what I decided to do is to go back to school and get an advanced degree. And while I was in school at McDaniel College, some dreams just started popping up in my head, like, okay, how can I kind of incorporate my arts background as well into the mental health field? I'm creative, but can I be that creative clinician, that expert? Could I utilize possibly some of my experiences working with children in the school system in order to help break the stigma of mental health? So my dreams just started to grow while I was in my program. And I generally say to anyone who asks me, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade.
Absolutely. What kind of lemons were you dealing with at the time, if you don't mind me asking? Because everybody on this call has had lemons. Every single person, we all have a shared connection here that we are dealing with different things in our lives. It could be with ourselves, it could be with our children, it could be we're taking care of our elder loved ones, or it could be all of it, all of it. So if you're open to sharing, it would be helpful to paint some context around what those times were looking like for you and how you
Absolutely.
overcame them.
Okay. Well, I was actually going through a divorce at that time, and things just were looking a lot different. Like, how was I supposed to move forward? What was I supposed to do? And I just, again, I decided to just move forward
Yeah. I
with
call it
grace.
purging forward. Purging
Yes,
forward.
absolutely. Yeah.
I'm, you know, I shared earlier, I'm similarly, you know, and it's been amicable and nothing negative to say. And still, as you purge forward, it's challenging and it can be challenging and it can be, and yet it's a journey. And as you walk through the journey, you realize little angels drop along the way. And, I could speak about people on this call. What is that? What are you showing?
This is a heart.
Okay.
I actually developed the love for a heart as I was pivoting.
Ah.
At times, I per se didn't feel the love, didn't know what the love looked like for me or for others. And I just decided to continue to move forward with love,
Yeah.
in love.
That's right. I love that. You
And
can feel your energy and you can see it on the phone. I mean, you can see it
really.
on Zoom for people who are seeing you. Some people are on the phone. Like I said, some people may be in bed, you know, rolled over and click the number. But whatever it is, I love the energy that you are showing. It's so amazing. And it's powerful because it shows that despite whatever, we have an opportunity to move with love and with gratitude and get to the other side. Because there's always another side. And so
Always.
I love that.
Thank
What
you.
are some thoughts that you have on or recommendations you have for someone who may be really struggling and who's not at that other side yet? They might be struggling with mental health or dealing with a challenging situation at home, whether it's with one of our children
Okay.
or a partner or anything. Are there some thoughts you have on how to work through that?
Absolutely. Be still. Be still. And let us all be still for a moment. Because we just said a mouthful. Even though this is a conversation, I want to be mindful that the conversation may have triggered some people on this call or who may listen. So I'd like for us to just be still and just breathe. So for one moment before I begin, if we can slowly breathe in through our nose, notice what happens to the stomach. Hold for 1 or 2 counts and release slowly through your mouth. Visualize the ocean, the water. That's my happy place, or whatever it may be. And again, breathe in through your nose. Hold for 1 or 2 counts and slowly exhale. Release what no longer serves you. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that opportunity.
Thank you for doing that. It's interesting about the power of a breath and being still does a massive shift.
Absolutely. I lots of power in just being present. So with that said, Kelly, I'm going to just look at some notes so that I don't miss anything, because I'm again honored for this opportunity to serve, to pour into whomever may hear. So how did I move forward? I created this recently as a result of kind of analyzing my steps, my journey. And purpose came about. The word purpose. What does purpose mean to you? So here I go. A, B, C, D, E. A. When life gives you lemons, that means adversity. Make lemonade. If we take a moment to reflect, we've all gone through some type of adversity. It's different, but it's still sometimes tough. B. Delay does not mean denial. Stop looking at everybody else. Social media, okay. Sometimes we post the best posts, the best pictures. We all have a journey. C, love this one because I love road trips. The rear view mirror is so much smaller than the front window. Look forward, press forward. May I say it? It is Sunday. God got you.
Yes.
All right. And D, rest and reset the mind, body, and spirit. You kind of just did that. Be still sometimes. You don't have to have the answer to everything right now. Sometimes it will come in stillness, or for me, right by the water, or in breath. Visualize where you want to go and where you're going to go. And E for excellence. The gift is still within you. Isn't that amazing? No matter what we go through, the good and the bad, it's all going to work together for good. Yes, Romans 8:28 is my favorite scripture. A, B, C, D, E, purpose. That's how I did it, Kelly.
That's how you did it.
That's how I did
That's
it.
how you did it in your transition, and that's your advice for all of us, which I think is beautiful. I think I love the thought about delay does not mean denial. I love that. And I also love, and somebody also said the rear, what you said, the rear view mirror is so much smaller than the front windshield. That's major. That's major. And then someone said rest and reset. Yes. Lots of power in being present. 100% agree.
Thank you.
That's really wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. I how do you believe self-care? How does self-care help one's overall well-being and wellness? And also around setting boundaries. You have children. So share with us, some of your self-care habits, and then how do you create healthy boundaries?
So I'll start off with self-care.
Okay.
I recall when I was going through the extensive process to become a licensed therapist, almost every professor kept bringing up self-care. At that time, Kelly, I didn't really know what that was. I recall having fun with my friends, dancing for hours, dancing in the living room, running around, but I didn't realize that, hey, that was self-care. So the foundation was already there. I just needed someone to put a name to it. So I listened to my professors, and while I was in the program, I practiced different self-care routines and found which ones work for me. Because your self-care, Kelly, may not be my self-care, may not be someone else's self-care, but you'll know when it's yours, trust and believe. So I realized, being a July baby, I love the water. So whenever I have an opportunity, after pouring into amazing men and women in the community, I'm looking for water. If I cannot find the ocean at that time, I will find a lake.
That's great. Or a pool somewhere.
Yes, somewhere. So that is my self-care. And then also candles. Ironically, right before this amazing opportunity, I had a knock at my door and someone said, "Hey, I have a gift for you." They made me a lavender candle. So water and candles, lavender are my best friend. So that is my self-care. So I challenge each and every one of you on a serious note to pay attention to your body. The body does score. What makes you happy? What relaxes you? What helps you dream big? That may be your self-care. Yes, there's a list, 115 self-care that I sometimes share with others. However, I think the best way is to really be still, reflect, and you'll find your self-care.
Yes, I love that. Were you about to say something as well?
No, that's it. Did you want me
Okay.
to talk
I
about
wanted to talk about your children because,
that?
yes, and how do you create healthy boundaries? And also, are they practicing self-care? Like, how do you get your children to follow in some of your footsteps without being an overkill?
Okay. Well, ironically, my children are grown. They're adults, so they are living their best life. My daughter recently graduated from NYU and she is having an amazing time. And she is currently definitely respecting the fact that she wants to explore things. She likes to dance. So I would say that she definitely has picked up on self-care in her own way. And my son lives pretty far away, and he enjoys spending time with his, I guess, soon-to-be fiance, and just riding a bike and likes to try different foods. So I don't know if per se I was the person that enabled them to tap into self-care, but at their age, they're doing it automatically. And they're my heartbeats, if I'm honest.
That's wonderful.
Thank you for asking about them.
That's wonderful. I think I'm smiling thinking about, all of our children. They're all amazing in different ways. So that's awesome. Someone asked a question. Oh, Vicky, Dr. Vicky, it says, can you share suggestions for self-care for those who may feel they are too busy and or have too much to do?
Thank you so much for asking that question, Dr. Vicky. To tell you the truth, we're never too busy. It literally takes 1 minute or 2 minutes to practice self-care. If I'm honest, before I started today, this podcast, I went outside and I became grounded with the earth. So some people may want to do some deep breathing outside or just walk, let their feet touch the ground. Some people may want to read a book. Some people may want to go to the water. Some people may want to paint their nails, get their hair done. It definitely does vary. Again, there is a list on the internet. If you type in, I think it's 117 coping skills, a lengthy list. And I generally suggest that people try to maybe highlight a couple of items on that list and try it for themselves. And then to take it one step further, there's a calendar that I have. And I generally advise people who say, hey, I don't have time, put in that self-care routine in your on your calendar. It could be an electronic calendar, it could be a calendar that you print out. We never should probably say we don't have time for self-care because that is our lifeline.
And one of the things you said earlier was as simple as burning a candle was something
Yes.
that you do that you love. That's takes a moment just to burn it, to turn it on, to light it. So that's a moment that you shared that for somebody that's super busy, if they enjoy that, that could be something as well.
Absolutely. But I do want to say, in terms of the candle, please be mindful to watch the candle. Like, have it by you. I wouldn't recommend having it throughout the house. And then now they actually have different devices where, if you do like the smell or the scent of candles, you can burn it by plugging it in and you don't have to deal with the light. So, again, do what works best for you. And again, there's so many resources online that can possibly direct you and give you some ideas. Most importantly, almost forgot, mindfulness. There's a daily calm that you can find on YouTube, as well as if you want to download the Calm app. So now what's trending is some people are incorporating mindfulness in their daily routine and yoga and prayer and journaling. So those are some of the other popular self-care routines.
Right. Those are all great. Thank you for sharing. And I
You're
want to,
very
oh, I'm sorry, I cut you off. You went off camera. I'm not sure if you did that intentionally, which is fine if that's what you choose. If you could come back on, that would be wonderful so people
Yes.
can see you.
Yes.
And I want to just remind people that if you have a question or a comment, you can come off of mute. Thank you. There you are. Thank you. You are back. It's frozen for me, but it could be me. I'm not sure. But if you have a
Yes. So
question, yes, go ahead.
I'm going to have to keep the camera off for the remainder of our discussion so that you can
Okay.
hear me. So it was intentional.
Okay, got it. No problem at all. So for people who are with us this morning, if you have a question or a comment for Lauren, please feel free. You can come off of mute by hitting star six, or you can type your comment or question in the chat if that's easier, or come off a camera on camera if you like. Either way, we're open. But would love your thoughts and comments, suggestions, things that you might do around self-care.
Hi, Kelly. It's Vicky. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question for you back to self-care. And I'm driving it today because I just feel inspired to drive this. Although you listed some very simple tips and suggestions for self-care, a lot of times what I sense is that there's a question of worthiness and deservingness. Like some people feel they don't deserve it, that, they're not worthy of it. So can you speak to deserving or self-worth as it relates to taking care of yourself so that, you have some capacity to take care of responsibilities, whether that's children, spouse, parents, whatever, responsibilities we have. But sometimes people aren't doing it because they don't feel they deserve it or they don't feel they are worth taking a moment of self-care. So can you speak to that?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for asking the question. I would generally recommend for all of us, especially those of us who have a role in this world, which is all of us pouring into someone else, is to put the oxygen mask on yourself first before putting it on someone else. When you sometimes operate out of an empty cup and oxygen isn't coming your way, it sometimes can prevent you to show up and be the best version of yourself and to feel as if you're worthy to be used. So just realizing that, believe it or not, regardless what has happened to you, the gift is still within you. You are worthy for every single thing that is coming your way. There is no competition. There is no clone. There's only one you. If someone were to ball up $1,000, a $10 bill, a $100 bill, does it still have its value? Absolutely. Right? So the key is for us again to find some time to be still, to really focus in on the gift within us and realize that we are worthy of self-care, we're worthy of love, we're worthy of promotion. And at the end of the day, you'll be fine. Surround yourself with a positive support system. It doesn't have to be 10, 20 people. It could be one or two or three. I have a support system. Some are on this call. It's very important. And sometimes we may, as human beings, question, am I worthy because I went through this? Will I be loved again because I went through this? Of course you are. And that's where your support system comes in. And they give you that little glimmer of hope and encouragement.
That word hope is so important, I think. I know Dr. Vicky has talked about hope in the past, having hope. And also, you talked just now, Lauren, about you'll be fine. We will be fine because of there's an undercurrent of faith behind that, I believe. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yes. Yes.
That makes sense. Thank you for sharing that. Our next question says, can you speak about how to navigate mental health resources in the Black community? That's part one. And then part two is, what do you perceive are the challenges and possible solutions? So it's about how do you navigate mental health resources in the Black community?
Well, I would first state that just being general, if someone does happen to have access to a particular insurance policy, you can call the insurance company and they can give you a list of providers within your area. That's number one. Number two is there is a platform for women called Black Girls Therapy. And you're able to again look at certain providers and decide which one is a good suit for you. Another one is Psychology Today. I am on Psychology Today, and you find a therapist within your area. Be mindful that clinicians are generally licensed in certain states. So if you are in, for instance, Maryland, you wouldn't want to select someone who is licensed maybe in New York City, unless they state their license in several different states. And also sometimes word of mouth. If someone may know of someone who has a private practice, they may refer or make a recommendation, not refer, a particular practice or a particular clinician. But be mindful if you do do that, you want to maintain your privacy. So again, there are a lot of ways to access therapy now. And Taraji P. Henson also has a foundation where she provides free mental health services for a couple of sessions. It reminds me of EAP in a way. And she actually is a graduate of Howard University. So she's a big advocate of breaking the stigma of mental health. And that's another platform where you can find therapy services.
Boris J. Henson Foundation, I believe that's hers. And also Silence the Shames, Shanti Das out of Atlanta has a wonderful organization. But
Thank you.
yeah. And Vicky is putting Therapy for Black Girls in the chat and some other resources as well.
Thank you so much. I
Of
appreciate it.
course, of
And if anyone
course.
else knows of any other resources, feel free to put it in the chat because knowledge is power. And again, I do have a lengthy long list, but this is just a intimate conversation and I don't want to forget about anyone. So again, please forgive me in advance if I did not mention your particular platforms.
Oh, no problem. And this is, we are all family here, even though we know some people, we don't know everybody, but it does feel like a family. So it's no need to apologize ever here in this space. It's a safe space. But
Awesome.
thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing. Are there any other questions or thoughts this morning, from our callers or people that have clicked in on Zoom? Any other comments or questions? For Lauren.
Yeah, I have another question.
Okay, thank
This
you.
is Vicky. Lauren, can you talk about, because your demeanor is just so calm, right? Like, I just want to exhale listening to you talk. Can you talk about, which means, let me finish the thought, which means you feel like a very safe space, right? And I can only imagine, a client sitting there talking to you. How do you suggest overcoming, as a parent, I'm going to clarify it even further, overcoming guilt for, past choices, past mistakes? What are some suggestions that you can offer to us as parents who may be dealing with guilt and even some shame and embarrassment, for past choices?
Well, thank you, Dr. Vicky, for asking this question. And thank you so much for saying what you stated about my presence. I really appreciate it. I would state that, again, I'm going back to be still. We all have made choices in our lives. Some we thought were the best, some may not have been the best. But again, going back to the rearview mirror, we cannot move forward and look back at the same time. So sometimes I use the example of a bow and arrow. You go back to go forward. It's impossible to change our past. We can learn from it and we can grow from it. And the beauty about having children is that they are as resilient as we are. And the word forgiveness. Forgive yourself first. And if per se something happened with your relationship with your child, you may need some space. They may need some space to heal, to grow. I won't say time will heal everything, but it may make a difference. But again, get support, get help if you need it, and look forward, create a new chapter. How many of us have had experiences where you're reading a book and you're staying on the same page for more than maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And you're saying, why am I on the same page? Is there a lot of noise in the background? Are you distracted? So again, paying attention to where you are mentally, physically, spiritually, and determine whether or not you're staying on that same page for too long. And if it's time to turn the page. I hope I didn't go too deep with that book, with the page, but did you catch it?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
caught it. I caught that. Lauren, one more. I do want to go a little deeper here because our speaker last week talked about emotophobia, a word I had never heard about, fear of feeling your emotions. And I thought that was so powerful. And I can speak for me, in dealing with my child. A lot of times, I just shut my emotions off, and then when I started feeling again, the shame, guilt, embarrassment came up. And so I'm asking for myself, and thank you for answering. But I just, wanted to ask in case there were other parents in the room, virtual room here, who may have had the same experience, because I know we do the best we can based on where we are. And still, there are times where guilt, shame, gosh, I really blew that, maybe come up. So thank you for, your answer. And I just wanted to add some context to the question, hoping that it would, maybe help somebody else.
Yes, may I respond from what you just stated? I would again take some time and do some self-reflection and see where you are at that particular place in your life. Find out per se where your child or children are at that particular place in your life. Everything doesn't need to be solved right now. Sometimes when there's hurt, there's pain, there's history, you need time to heal, to process, journal, and again, not operating in guilt and shame is huge. We cannot go backwards and change what happened. We can heal, we can grow. And the word trauma is really popping up in my mind as I'm speaking. Trauma is real. And there are various circumstances. I don't know who's listening or who's on the call. If there was a traumatic experience, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take some time and more than likely, maybe some type of clinical support, therapy. And I know as a result of working with various different populations that if there is a circumstance where it's not safe for the family to gather together in a session, I will not do so. I will make sure that if I'm working with one individual person who ultimately wanted the family unit to come together, I will make sure that that one client is okay before inviting or exposing that client to the family unit. Yes, I see a hand up. Vita, am I okay to say you can
Good
speak?
morning.
Good morning.
Yes, please go right ahead. Good morning.
How can I serve you? You have a question?
Looks like, is it? Yep.
Her hand is up.
Yep. And she came off of mute.
Okay.
So,
Well,
Vida, did you have a question? Maybe it just hit the button by mistake.
okay.
She's back on mute. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah, so that's about it. If anyone else had any other questions, it's a very complex situation. I just want to encourage all the moms listening now and per se listening in the future, just know that generally we do the best that we can do. And for me, as a parent, I love hard. There are times that sometimes people say, okay, your kids know you love them. I want to be not just the change agent for the community, but for my family.
Right. I think
And I want
sometimes
to
our
thank you for that.
kids, I'm sorry to cut you off. I think that that is a, I'm piggybacking on what Dr. Vicky said and also something you just said around our kids know we love them. I think sometimes in certain situations, they may not. And what do I mean by that? I mean by that, that in certain situations when a child may be doing certain things that we disagree with, or we don't allow, or we get upset by. Many parents, particularly Black parents, well, we all parent how we were parented, typically, of course. And sometimes we can overreact and we can overpunish and we can do things without really listening to our children or without understanding their perspective because we believe we're telling you what to do, do as I say. You know, and so have been times in my life with my children where I'm sure they did not feel seen, heard, loved, respected. They were told what to do, regardless of how they felt about it. So I know I have a lot of self-forgiveness work to still do. Yeah, I've been doing it for 4 years, but I have a lot more to still work with. Because of that, because boy, I wish I could get the time back. If I could get the time back, I probably would behave differently. I would listen more, punish less. I would have curiosity around why is he smoking weed? What is that? What is he self-medicating? What's underneath it? And I'd get curious and try to understand and talk about it. Versus just punishing. And so I'm sharing that only to say I think that when we tell ourselves the truth, really sit in the truth of what really happened, and it could be with our children, it could be with the work situation, it could be with anything. Like, what is the truth here? What really happened? Then sometimes it allows us to say, gosh, I could have chosen a different outcome, perhaps, and there's guilt in that. And yet, there's also an opportunity to say, okay, like you just said, did the best I could at the time with what I knew, but now I know better. So I'm doing better and I'm helping other people do better. And that's the power, I think, of sharing the vulnerable, of being vulnerable and sharing and having people share. Like Vicky just shared about her daughter. I'm sharing about my children where I know that I caused them such trauma, particularly my eldest. And that trauma has to be the trust and the relationship has to be rebuilt over time. So I think that guilt is real. And I think that it's something that it's like any muscle, it has to be worked through. Massaged and worked through with honesty, and sometimes even saying to our children, I'm sorry for certain things that I did, and I love you, period. So I wanted to just share that.
Well, thank you so much for sharing and being transparent about your experience as well as Dr. Vicky. I must say, there's no such thing as a perfect family. We are constantly evolving and changing and growing. So again, going back to that example I gave about the book, I get it. Yes, if you were exposed to a traumatic experience, if your children were exposed to a traumatic experience, or if they have a story, they went through something very difficult, seek help and know that there is still an opportunity to either develop a better relationship, to be healed, to grow. Life is just beginning. We all have been through something. Remember, life gives you lemons, make lemonade. And I get it. There comes a time, even in my life, where I had to sit back and just let the tears flow. We're human, you know? Or even recently, like, oh my goodness, why did I make that decision? Okay, what did you learn from it? How can you grow from it?
Right.
But if we, all of us, continuously look at the rearview mirror, not to get help or to possibly seek wisdom, but being stuck in that place, it could be a relationship with a child, a parent, an employer. The list could go on and on and on. There comes a point in time where we should want to move forward if we can.
Right.
So again, thank you again, Kelly, for sharing your
Absolutely.
story. And
And we do have a hand up. So I want to just
yes, we
acknowledge that
do.
there is a person with a hand up. If you want to come off of mute, feel free. You can hit star six if that was intentional.
And this is Vita. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. Good morning, Vita.
Okay, wonderful. I was trying to come off mute, but I was having audio problems. But if there's someone else now who had their hand up and wants to go, I can wait.
No, go ahead. Feel free right now. Go ahead.
Okay, wonderful. Sorry. I don't know why, but I have an echo on my side, but I'm going to keep talking. I just wanted with Vicky, who was talking about shame, and I wanted to say that I have had over the last past couple of years several challenges that I've had to work through with my younger son, who is now 19, and this child is the biggest challenge of my life. And I am a problem solver, and usually I can work through things hard for have things feel like they're beyond my control. And what I had to realize is that there are things that are beyond my control. And with regard to him and what he was doing and what he was feeling and going through, it was somewhat beyond my control. Because everyone has their own journey, your children included. And with regard to some of the Kelly was saying, in terms of asking questions and doing the best and I definitely went through all of those emotions. I have to say that specifically this and other things, but specifically hearing some of that Kelly shared about her journey through this project. Podcast in the past, I would say help with the shame or feeling like it because knowing that other people are going through the same their children that you are, and for reasons unbeknownst to them or anybody else, because I'm like, why especially when you think that you have done everything that you possibly can to avoid it, and it happens anyway. it's kind of difficult to deal with, especially when you're a person who is used to being in control of the situation or think that you can. But actually, it was empowering to let go of that notion and just let it run its course. Question. I got to a space where I had to figure out because I thought I knew everything that happened. I'm usually very involved in what's going on. But once I started asking questions like, well, has anything happened that I actually I found out that there were things that were happening that I just didn't know about and oblivious to. And challenges that he was dealing with that I just had no idea. And that was probably caused him to act out and behave the way that he was behaving, aside from the fact that his father had, a failure, at 13. And then by the time he got to be 16, he really started acting out. But shame or feeling bad about, certain things that happen. I grew out of that. I no longer feel that way, and I feel like it was empowering role of that. It has allowed me to help him more and also be of help and of service to other people and things. So that's all I wanted to say.
So the net of it, we heard you and it went in and out a little bit. So thank you for sharing, Vita, first of all. And I think the net of what you're saying is you've had such a journey from 13 to 19 with your son, and at where you are now, it's better and you've learned to release control. Is that correct?
For the most part, yes.
Yes, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Thank you for sharing. Lauren, did you want to comment on that as well?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. I would definitely recommend or suggest, per se, that you start to write. Get some of those thoughts and those emotions out on paper and free yourself from some of that heaviness and the guilt and the shame that you're holding on to. Remember the very beginning, I encouraged whoever wanted to do so to breathe in what you need or breathe in through your nose and release through your mouth. Sometimes we're holding on to something that doesn't serve us. The first relationship we have is with ourselves. So giving yourself the freedom to be healed and to move forward in love and peace. That's all I have to say. But thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. And there is a, and thank you for saying that. A woman, OJ, your initials, she's saying she's having a tough time getting off of mute. So I'm not sure what's happening with our audio this morning. If you want to type your question or comment in the chat, that would be wonderful. And there is another question that says, how do you integrate your gifts into your counseling? How do you integrate your gifts, Lauren, into your counseling?
Well, I first start off by being still before either I present via a podcast, a counseling session, and I tend to get direction from that place. And to be honest with you, Kelly, you really want me to be honest with you?
Yes.
When I start going, I go. And there was a place in my life as a clinician less than a year ago. I said, oh my goodness, I should write a book. Oh my goodness, where is all of this coming from? So I'm amazed that some of the things that are coming through this vessel, we all have vessels. I'm just a tool. I say that a lot. It just flows. And there are times that when I am counseling, I'm noticing that tears flow from the other amazing person that I'm helping. And I paid attention to that. And I said, where is this coming from? I'm opening my mouth and they just start sharing and pouring. And I'm realizing now at this age, in this journey of my life professionally, that there are some other gifts in there. Yeah, dance was just the beginning. And for some of you, your beginning may have been something else, but that's not all that's within you. We all have gifts. And again, that adversity, I get it. We may need to pause for a moment. We may need to get healed from whatever happened to us or whatever we may have done to someone else, but know that there's still room for you in this world.
Right.
So again, I know you asked about me, but I'm being mindful that I want to use this platform in order to help someone out there who's listening or who may listen in the near future, that there are many gifts within us. And through our journey, we may discover different gifts that we didn't even know were there. Publicly speaking, you couldn't have told me I would be doing this.
Right.
I used to stutter. Yes, me.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, you would never know that. But it's interesting how your journey, from a dancer to a mental health advocate and coach, all of those things. It's really amazing. And so I'm grateful for you being here, for sharing your purpose, the ABCDE. Thank you for that. And I apologize for the woman who is trying to get off of mute. I'm so sorry. I don't know why it's not allowing you this morning to come off of mute. But really appreciate you all being here. As always, there's some resources in the chat. I'm going to put the survey as well in the chat. And I just want to make sure that this woman wants, if she can get off of mute, she can. So I'm just trying to see, and it does not look like it. So, with that, we are almost out of time. So, I guess I will turn it over to Dr. Vicky to close us out, unless Lauren, you'd like to share a couple of last remarks, and then we'll have Dr. Vicky do our closing prayer.
Thank you. Kelly, I just want to say thank you so much for this opportunity to serve. And I hope that something that was stated today touches someone's life, causes them to pivot as well, causes them to tap into their gifts, and obviously seek healing and help if they do need to do so. And for the young lady whose hand is up and wasn't able to ask her question, feel free to maybe send an email with that question, and I can definitely circle back and answer that question. And God bless you all. The floor is yours, Dr. Vicki. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Kelly. This was really, like I said, very calming. Very calming, which I know is in alignment also with grounding and being able to turn lemons into lemonade. So thank you, Lauren, for just sharing. Let's pray, God. We thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us. We thank you because we get to rejoice and we get to give your name glory. Thank you for Lauren and for her journey of sharing, of how she demonstrated how she's turned lemons into lemonade and given us examples of how to do the same. Thank you for Kelly and the vision of the Sunrise Project. And thank you for allowing each of us to, on a weekly basis, get information, education, to be inspired, empowered, edified, to be better, so that we can help our children and our parents and our families to do the same. Now, bless us as we go forward in this day. We thank you for protecting us, for keeping us, and we'll be careful to give you all of the glory and all of the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lauren.
Amen.
Thank you,
Thank you.
Kelly.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate everybody. We will see you next week. Have a beautiful day and appreciate you, Lauren. Thank you, Dr. Vicky. Have a wonderful day, peaceful day. That's the space I plan to occupy today. So thank you all.